about to hear a life-changing message preached at Revival International Memphis by the Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. In 1 John 4, verse 7, the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." In this Sunday's message, Reverend Lindsay preaches a powerful message, "If you love God, you will love the brethren." God will make you blessed if you become a true God lover. One of God's love languages is loving the brethren. So let us listen into this anointed word and learn how to act out love daily by loving our brothers and sisters, laying down our lives for the brethren, and having compassion for them. Be blessed.
I want us to sing this song together. He that love the commandments. He that love the love. Bring it. Tell somebody, do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Did you love the Lord? Lift up your hands. Father, I pray, oh God, that everyone here, you will resolve to loving you. Loving you more than loving anything else. We bless your name. We thank you. Holy Spirit, help us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You may please be seated. Now, do you know that, please, everybody get settled, get seated, please. Go out to the front and get seated. Do you know that people in authority are often the most lonely? Yeah. People in authority, the higher you go, the lonelier it becomes. You know, and the reason is because many people feel that, oh, the boss or the mother or the father doesn't need any attention or doesn't need any help or anything. And I want to thank some of you. I don't know what you heard in last week's message when I said, don't think that your parent doesn't need attention or love. And sometimes just write a text and say, "Mom, I saw you in a pensive mood, whatever it is, I'm praying for you to be okay." I said something like that. And I got texts, people like that. And I just want to say thank you. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You know, I was saying it for your parents and for your bosses, and then you win favor. But it's a blessing to see that some of the, I'm also reaping some of this. But listen to this. God is the highest. And he's often the loneliest. You'll be surprised. People love the church. People love pastors. People love God's blessings. People even love the people of God. But God is one person that people don't show love to. And the Bible says that this, you know, first of all, Matthew chapter 22. But it's the greatest commandment to love the Lord your God. The first and the great commandment. Top. You can't find it, so I'll read it myself. Now, the Bible says, and he asked the master, "Master, what is the first and the great commandment? Which is the great commandment in the law?" Then, verse 37, then Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart." See the heart thing I was telling you? With all your soul and with all your mind. You know what? It means love with your heart, means with your passion. With your soul means with your emotion, with your will, with your intellect. As a decision, I've decided to love God. So you can decide to love somebody. Yeah. Can decide to love somebody. And then with all your mind, it means you are conscious about it. It's not a mindless kind of love. Now, some people love, it's mindless, it's just routine. It's not in there. You see, the Bible says that, "What is man that thou art so mindful of him? Or the son of man that you visit him?" We are God is mindful of us. His mind is full of us. He cares. He thinks. When you love somebody, you are mindful of the person. Your mind is full of the person. You know, I mean, it's like everywhere you're thinking about the person. You're concerned about the person. You fly. You say, "Well, I'm about to fly." You get down. "Well, I just got down." You are mindful of the person. How much of your mind is concentrated on God? Think about it. Most of the time when we go to church, and I'll show you, we are directed at things, not at God. We are directed to love things, but not to love God. And it's wrong. Any home that the children are directed to love things and not to love the father or the mother, it's a destroyed home. Yeah. Any business that there is fighting against the boss, it's not going to work. And you are either going to be fired or the business is going to collapse. So any church that is not directed to love God, it's like a human being without a head. Crazy. Craziness goes on. Mindless human beings are crazy human beings. When you are crazy or somebody is in a psychiatric hospital, everything is working except the head. You see the point? And it doesn't work like that. So God is so mindful. And the Bible says the first and the great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Is that not the kind of love you would want from somebody who takes you to honeymoon? Is that not the kind of love you would want? Why should God not deserve that? Yeah, with all your soul. And it says, and the second is like unto the first. You should love your neighbor as yourself. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So the complete Christian, when Christianity has arrived strong, the person loves God and loves others. Selfish Christians are often the lowest type of Christian. And the church often generates or breeds selfish Christians. We teach the church to love things and themselves more than love others. Now, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous or dangerous times shall come." And what are the signs of the dangerous times? "Men," of course, "and women shall be lovers of their own selves." Yeah. Shall be lovers of their own selves. When love for self goes on for a long time, it becomes, anyway, they'll be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Now, they don't just love their own selves. They love things that other people have. Yeah. This morning, I was telling my wife of a certain lady. We all went to a wedding in maybe Nevada from New York. The church members. And one of the church, well, the people that went to have the wedding, we finished the wedding and we stayed there for a couple of days. Do you know that one of the church members went and slept with the groom? Yes. And as I speak, she's married to the groom. Yeah. Where we went for the wedding, we all went. We even got a ticket because we're rushing to the wedding. Police ticket. And then one of the church members, not knowing, was in a relationship. So the groom was all the time not happy. Yes. And when we came back, the groom never had any sexual relations with the one whose wedding we went for. Instead, had relations with this wicked girl. Wicked. That's why they say, in the last days, dangerous times shall come. Be very careful about your thoughts. Be very careful. Know this. But God says, no, be aware of this. Know it. Don't just brush it aside. Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Men shall be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. They shall be covetous, coveting other people's things, husband's wife. Somebody says, when you come to church, sometimes you have to put your spouse in your handbag and put your handbag under your Bible. This comes from a church that does not love God, that love themselves and love covetous. Covetous means coveting what other people. You love somebody's car. I mean, we've been in church with them, and somebody's car was stolen by, vandalized by a church member. It's not because the devil comes to church, but it's because the church has become lovers of themselves and things. No love for God. No love for God. No passion. Our mind is not about God. It says love with your whole mind, your whole soul, your whole heart. So we love God with our mouth, like I said, but our hearts are far from him. So the worship is dry. And he said, get over the worship quickly so that the pastor will come and teach you how to prosper, teach you how to have, how to love yourself. That's why when you get to a church and it's all about, you can get this breakthrough, how you can prosper without working, how you can, it's so anti-love for God. God put the people in the garden and said, look, it's about me. When you make it about me, everything else will be yours. And Satan said, no, it's not about God. It's about the fruits of the garden. It's about everything you were not given. God is a liar. And set Adam and Eve against God. There are satanic pastors that set the church against God. You'll be surprised. Called the Antichrist. He'll be prominent in the church. When we preach Christ in the church, they said we didn't preach well. What should we preach? Paul said, I'll preach Christ and him crucified. So you must, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters. Boasters mean, yeah, do you know who I am? Do you know how much money I have? Do you know what car I drive with? Do you know the kind of Tesla I use, not even Tesla, but kind of Tesla, the model. Boasters, proud, everything about self. Blasphemous, it means saying things. One person told me that I'm not supposed to do anything for God. I come to church. No. Blasphemous, is that the Holy Spirit? What is this? That? Blasphemous, they have the audacity. You'll be surprised at what church members can say about God, about the preaching. When you talk about tithes, what they can say. Blasphemous. In the church. When you say, for example, that you should not fornicate, they say, oh, this is old school. Blasphemy. When they say the Bible must be revised. Blasphemy. When you bring the Bible to council, they say, pastor, put the Bible aside and let's talk reality. I see Bible is not real. Blasphemy. In the last day. Yeah. When you say, the Bible says clearly in the Bible that homosexuality is sin. When you preach, they tell you are homophobic. Blasphemy. They say we shouldn't preach about fornication again. Blasphemy. This is the last days. Children are disobedient to parents, and we should not deal with it. Even the parents are supporting children to be disobedient to teachers. That's the last days. Blasphemous, disobedient to parents. Something that was not at all the case in the church. Our children can do anything. Oh, not in this church. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, here we spank. By the way, just for you to know, if you don't like the church, then don't come. Here we allow the parents to spank their children, not to abuse them. Never abuse them. But spank them, and don't spank with a massage. Spank with so that they can feel the pain. Yeah. And Bibles actually say, spare not for their crying. Let them cry. They won't do it again. But in the last days, you see those days, village, you misbehave, your parent didn't spank you well, somebody will spank you out there, and a report will come to your mother. You are even afraid to go and tell your mother that an uncle spanked me because my pants were sagging. That's what is missing. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. They don't appreciate anything. Ingratitude. I mean, one person said, are you not my father, so why should I thank you? That's your responsibility to pay my fees. Unthankful. Ingratitude. Gratitude is a godly thing. Oh, you should see a child who comes to say thank you. You know, one of my children in the church, he grew from childhood. Baby. He was in diapers when the person came to church. And then recently, last year, the father came thanking me so much. What did you tell my son? I said, what is going on? Please, for the last several months, my son is different. I said, why? He said, my son came one day and told me, Pastor preached about honoring parents, and I just want to say thank you. I have grown up now. I know a lot of things, but I don't know even how you bought my diapers. I don't know how you took me to school. I don't know what work you did, whether you worked or not. I've never said thank you for the food that I ate. And the guy knelt down and said, Daddy, I want to say thank you. I appreciate you so much. I was not there when I was born. When I opened my eyes, you were still taking care of me. You've taken care of me till now. I just want to say thank you. The father was so touched, called me late at night. Pastor, whatever you said to my son, he's different. And I said, thank you. Yeah. This is what Christianity is about. Yeah. When I had my first salary, I sent it to my daddy. It's all yours because you are the reason why I have a job. Clap for Jesus. And I never stopped giving him part of my salary until he died. Never stopped. If Uncle Sam deserves part of my salary, how much more my father? And I never stopped giving my heavenly father part of my salary, tithe. When I'm blessed, you are surprised by the grace of God, and you will be blessed in Jesus' name. Men shall be unthankful. Men shall be unholy. That's why they don't want us to preach about fornication in church. Yeah. That's why you're from church. Some prostitute may be waiting for you in your room at appointment. You didn't want to do it in the morning because you feel guilty at church. Unholy. Unholy. You come from a hotel with a husband and you are sitting in church. Dripping sweat from nobody knows where. Unholy. It's not funny. It's not funny. It happens in church. Unholy. It's all because we don't love God. And next, unholy and what? Keep going. Verse 3. Without natural affection, men don't like women anymore. They like men. They like animals. It's all in the Bible. Now they, without natural affection, and they say we shouldn't talk about it. We're having making pastors of people with unnatural affection. Of course. I mean, if you like somebody, it doesn't mean that you should make love to the man. I like you. Well, who says you cannot be attracted to man? But don't now fan it up into flames of emotion and passion. Sexual. That's unnatural. That's why even dogs are not safe anymore as pets. You'd be surprised. Truth breakers, they contract and they say, oh, I might that till death do apart. I don't like you anymore. Truth breakers, contracts mean nothing. Contrast mean nothing. You may be sitting in church and then you have, come on now. When did this start? Fierce. And I mean, there are people who are false accusers. They say things, they can lie anytime just to get some false accusers. Incontinent, they can't contain. No self-control. No self-control at all. Incontinent. Fierce, despisers of good things. You're the only one who's a Christian. Emphasizing holiness too much. They are traitors. They are heady, high-minded, proud. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's the scripture I wanted to. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You sit down, you are talking to somebody. Look, stop this adultery. Stop this fornication. Stop this pornography. Stop this stealing. Stop this. They're lovers of pleasures. Anything I would do for my pleasure, I don't care whether it means I don't love God. When did it start? When? Ladies and gentlemen, if these messages are not preached to you, your Christianity will be useless. You'll be surprised that we wasted your time in church. It's only lovers who will be admitted. Yeah, God says in that not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. Even, he says, some of you come, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not cast out demons? Did I not do many wonderful works? And I'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me, thou that worked iniquity of these things. Listen, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God is not good. In other words, you should love God more than any pleasure that you have. Anything of pleasure. I love God more than my wife. I don't talk to my wife until I've spoken to God. That's standard in my house. That's standard. I don't talk to my phone until I've spoken to God. That's standard practice. It should be. Most Christians here, your first love is your phone. When you are going to church and you leave your Bible behind, you won't go back. But you leave your phone, you go back. Am I saying anything wrong? If it hits you, say, ouch, hallelujah. Or say, Pastor, you are preaching, you are preaching. Preach to them, preach to them, preach to them. Let me tell you, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. People don't even love. They love things. I've told you this story before. A man loved the wife, a Christian man loved the wife so much. He said, husband, love your wife. So knew that the wife's car was old and bought a brand new Mercedes. I think it was a Tesla. It was a Tesla. White. Internal, creamy, almost white, you know, seats. Beautiful. And with a big red ribbon. And came and parked it. And then came and the wife ran out with the children. Oh, oh, you know how women are. Oh, oh, oh. The man was so happy and looking at the family, three boys, and then the wife. They're so excited. And so finally the wife came in and then sat in the car, was moving, and the children jumped into the car. Hey, they're jumping on the seats, happy and excited. The woman got out of the seat and threw the children out. Get out. Stop dirtying my seats. The daddy says, don't do that. No, but they're dirty in their seats. Hey, say, honey, it's okay. They are excited. Then the woman shoved them out three times. And he said, lock the door. He said, you are not coming on my first ride. Husband, sit inside and let's go. Then the husband said, really? Wait for me, I'm coming. The woman had prepared dinner. Red stew. Red stew with some soup and tomatoes and peppers and red pepper. The man went to the guy, brought this red stew, came to the back seat and poured it on the back seat. Why are you doing this? Why? I said, I bought it for you. Let me tell you, these children are far more important than this car. Let's love people and not things. The woman looked, crying. Man said, you can cry all you want until you have learned how to treat human beings well, like my children. You don't deserve any good car. I should have left your old car and then kept the stew there. He said, if you do this again, it will not be just stew, it will be urine. Yeah. That's how you should be. You should treat God far more than your Tesla, than your spouse, than anything that brings you pleasure. I can assure you, anybody who does that, you are blessed. You have God close to you. Last week, we talked about the fact that because it's the most important thing. And then the other thing I want you to, loving God, number one, all the things, commandments hang on that. If you don't love God, you have no business going to church. Whose church? Whose word? So we have to learn how to love God. So that's the most important thing. And then we also said, I don't know whether I mentioned it to you, when you love God, it makes you closer to God. You get closer to God. Closeness. Because you love God. It brings you closer to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. And number three, it causes you, it's the right response for God's love. Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. There are many homes. You know, it's the love is one-sided. You're trying so hard to love, but they don't love you back. Sometimes church members are like that. The pastor is trying very hard, but there's no response. Homes like that. Parents are loving their children, but you should hear what they say behind the parents. Teachers are trying, but you should hear what the students are saying. Bosses are trying to get the business going and setting rules come at this time. But you should hear what the employees are saying. It's a sign of ingratitude. Real love responds to love. There's a saying, when somebody loves you, love him back. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Bible says, He who gave His Son, how shall He not freely with Him give you all things to enjoy? So when it comes to loving God, I am very passionate about it. Because He has loved me first. Hallelujah. He loved me first. He loved me first. He loved me first. Amen. Today I want to go on to talk about, if you love God, you will love the brethren. Loving God, you will love the brethren. You will love the brethren. Amen. If you love God. I'm talking to you about how to love God, number one, by loving the brethren. I'll teach you one by one. You know, because love language is different for everybody. Okay? Love language, write it down. Love language is different for everybody. So when somebody says that, hey, there are some people, if you love me, then give me chocolates. Yeah. My wife, amazing, amazing. I mean, I'm trying to take you to a nice restaurant on your birthday. I'm trying to maybe even take you to a cruise. I said, no, just give me flowers. I said, really? Flowers, they wither within 3 days. But when I go and I buy some chocolate buffet or whatever it is, she'll put it aside. That's not what I want. That's not what makes me feel love. If you want love, give me flowers. I was not raised with flowers. They're very, very foreign to me. But because of what she said, that's what makes me feel. I've learned to buy flowers, even to buy floral arrangements in chocolate. Do you know about that thing? He called it edible arrangements. It's called edible arrangement. I learned it from her because that she says that's what makes her feel loved. So for me, what makes a person feel loved? If you buy maybe, vacuum cleaner or new carpets, you know, microwave, dishwasher, something to help her with her work in the house. That's a bushman's idea of loving a wife. And I was a really bushman. Bushman, complete bushman. Because where I came from, when a wife that is working in the house, that's the kind of wife I want. That's a wife you should love. America has taught me, and the Bible has taught me, submitting one to another. Yeah. That the woman is a weaker vessel. You should work hard, harder than the woman. So, I've learned to do things, what she wants. That's what she wants, and I got it. Flowers, you'll be happy the whole day. You come, smell it, and come and give you a kiss. Smell it again. Come here. Look at you. I'm laughing. Koi, I'll beat you. She will arrange. You bring it. Takes out the bouquet. What does she do? Put it in the water. Put it in a glass. And then look at it. Put it one here, one in the bedroom. So look at this girl. But that's what makes her laugh. Ladies and gentlemen, what we need to ask ourselves, God says the love is the greatest thing you will do. The first and the great commandment. So what should we do to make God feel loved? That should be your next question. Yeah. That should be your next question. When you marry, the first thing you should know is what can I do to make you loved? Bible says, husbands, live with your wives according to knowledge. Or you have a friend, what does the friend like? Do you see? Love is defined by the one who is receiving the love, not the person who is giving. I'll say it again. Love is not defined by what I think you should have to feel loved. You, if I'm giving you something, it's a birthday, you should find what makes him happy and feel loved. That definition should come from anybody who feels what you feel should make the person love is what you do. You're a very selfish person. You will never have peace in your home. You will never have peace in the job. Even as when you go to the job, when you do what the boss likes, you get promotion. It's actually, you may not call it love, but it's an expression of love. And everybody responds to love. Everybody responds to what they define as, this person likes me. This person wants me to do well. The home that is the blessed is the home where there's competition. I want to make you happy and you want to make me happy. That's love. That's love. That's love. Everybody must learn that. When you get to a job, find out what is it that makes the boss happy. You marry, find out what is it that makes the spouse happy. You are at home, what is it that makes my mother happy? When Isaac wanted to bless the firstborn, he said, bring me venison such as I like. It will make me happy and I'll bless you. My soul will bless you. That's the seat of love will bless you. In other words, bring the venison, the kind that makes me feel loved. And when I feel loved, what comes out, you will be blessed. That's how God blesses his children. He sees those who know what God likes and will do them. That's why the Bible says, if any man does his will, the same is known of him. What he wants. He said, look, Saul, I have sacked you. You are no longer going to be king. But I found him, David, a man who is after my heart, who will do all that I desire. In other words, David is a lover of God. Everything I desire. That was the replacement of Saul. That's how David became king. He became king by being a lover. God will make you king. God will make you rule. God will make you blessed if you become a lover of God for real. Clap for Jesus. So, what is God's love language? 5 or so love languages. I'll share one of it for you today. Number 1, love the brethren. If you want to love God, show it by loving the brethren. What do I mean? First, if you love the Lord, you will love your brothers or sisters. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 to 21 says, if any man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Someone say he's a liar. Someone say he's a lie. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from God himself, that he who loves God loves his brother also. Did you know that? The first and the great commandment. He said the first one, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, And the second is just like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said, this is the commandment. Yeah. What you don't like to be done to you, don't do to the other person. Yeah. So when I'm taking somebody to a restaurant, I say, which restaurant do you like? Tell me which restaurant. That's it. Standard question I ask. Because if you pick something I can't afford, I'll let you know. Hey, I took a certain friend to a restaurant. I regretted it. It was that person's birthday. I said, I'm taking you to a restaurant. And we went to the restaurant. I invited my wife and that friend. And the friend came with the friend's best friend. Number one, no. I nearly changed my mind because I invited you, not you and your friend. But my wife told me to calm down. When I got there, I saw the two, I was just reversing. He said, no, I should stay there. So I went in. When I went in and we started ordering, my goodness, I ordered just the entree, trying to set an example. She ordered first course. And she ordered, then the friend just ordered entree. Then told the friend, go for the first course. Yeah. I'm telling you, I was about to just give a knock. Say, no. Told the friend seemed to be sitting there realizing that, no, this is wrong. Then no. Then the person took the order, ordered the first course for the friend. That was round one knockout. Then I sat down. Then the entree, the most expensive order. And when he finished, I said, it was so full that he even packed some into go. So I said, this one, she will not take dessert. Because of that, I intentionally did not take dessert. So I said, no. All the waitress too came and said, you want some dessert? I said, I don't want dessert. There's some nice thing. Then started showing me. I said, push away. And she said, bring it. He said, bring it. Ordered dessert. The friend said, no. So no, order. That was the last time. That was the last time. Don't abuse your privileges. Tell somebody, don't abuse your privileges. But this one, if you love, you love him. And this is the commandment. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is that many, many Christians, they love themselves. They don't love God and they don't love people. Let me tell you. Your real identity as a born-again person that loves God is shown in your love for people. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. You see that verse, verse 7. It says that, beloved, let us love one another because love is of God. Beloved, let us love one another for love is of God. And everyone that loves has two characters, is born of God and knows God. Therefore, if you are born of God and you know God, you will love. That's one of the things. On the day that God is choosing his people, you will see love will be major. Those are the people that are born again, that know God. He said, if you don't know God, he said, I'll never know you. Depart from me. But if you love God and know God, you will love people. I see godliness when people love people. Hatred is a bad sign. Even when somebody does something, you are being merciful and all. Do you get the point? But people, this is a sign. The new birth, you love God. Love is of God. God is inside of you if you can love somebody else. So don't say you love God. You don't have love. God, you don't see? Don't lie to yourself. Don't be deceived. If you don't love people, you likely don't love God. In fact, not likely, you don't love God. God says, if you can't love, so your first sign that you love God, when you want to go home and practice God's love language, step number one, love your friend, love your spouse, love your mother, love your child, love your friend, love even your enemies. You'll be so fulfilled. You can never live in this world when you don't give love, you will never be happy in your marriage. You will never be happy in your home. You will never be happy with your friends. Your friends will never. Kind people are adored. You know, people smell love and they react to it. They may not know scriptures. They may not hear tongues. They may not hear preaching. But love is a smell so universal, you will attract people. Yeah, that's why the Bible says love never fails. It's not just love for God. If you love God, and in that love for God, it makes you love people. Most of the real, genuine love for people is fueled by your love for God. That's why God says when you're born again and know God, that will fuel one sign of your love for God. Really inside, it will make you love people. You will be like him. Because the thing about God that makes him love so the world is his love. So when you have love inside of you, you feel it. Like you put hot water inside a vessel, you feel it. You are a container. If there's love inside of you, you will never have enough love for God if you don't have love for others. Don't be deceived. Your ability to forgive, your ability to give to others is a great sign. Your ability to sacrifice for others is such a great sign. Because it takes being born of God and knowing God to love. That is why God says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. They can't love you. They can say, I love you, but there's nothing. It's just a matter of time. If I had to marry again, or if I would do the same thing, marry a believer in church who has demonstrated love for God, love for people, born again. Yeah. Cain and Abel. Abel didn't love God. I mean, Cain. Clearly. Therefore, he could not love Abel. I'll say it again. It was not surprising that Cain killed his brother Abel because, first of all, he did not love God. He thought he loved God. So when God says, give me an offering, Abel, who loved God, brought the best, took the fattest, the firstlings of his flock. Wow. And he brought it to God. That's why tithing is very important. It shows those who will commit murder and those who will not. His love for God, bring it in the book of Genesis chapter 4. He took the best. It was his demonstration of love for God that made him give the best and the first. And Cain went out in the presence of God. And I'll keep going. About how he killed. Am I my brother's keeper? Look at this. Look at this. Go to verse 8. In fact, verse 7. Start from where they did the offering. Verse 5, I think. Watch this. Verse 4. So they went both to give offering. Watch this. And Abel, I'm telling you, your love for God is reflected in your love for others. Or if you love God, you love others. Watch this. First of all, you know that when God came to ask Abel, where is your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? He didn't care. He didn't love his brother. Am I my brother's keeper? And he killed the brother. But where did this stem from? He didn't have love for God. Watch this. And Abel also brought, the firstlings of his flock and of the fat, the first of the ones and the fat. When I used to pay tithes with cash, I will always, when I get my money and it's maybe $1,000 and it's in $5 notes, I'll count all the money and I'll put the cleanest notes on the side. Cleanest notes. And out of this, I'll pick 10% and I'll give to God. I said, I want to be like Abel. The first, I give God first before I spend any money for my tithes. And I give him the cleanest of notes. I put it in an envelope, I put it aside before I start spending the 900. Always, I've done that throughout my life. Don't be jealous if it looks like I'm blessed. You can be blessed too. And Abel, he also brought the first. That's the tithe. The first and the fat. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. When you are bringing tithe and it's not 10%, don't deceive God. Amen. But unto Cain and to his offering, what did Cain bring? Bring us what Cain brought. Cain just took some. Verse 3. In the process of time, Cain brought the fruits of the ground and an offering, not the best, some offering. anyhow. No passion. That's why I said, when you are singing and it's not in the heart, be careful. There was no love for God. Then what happened? Verse 6. Then, and to Cain and to his offering, God had no respect. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. Keep going. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why is your countenance fallen? Keep going. And if you did well, shall you not be accepted? And if you does not, you see, the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable. Will you not be accepted? And if you did not do well, sin lies at the door. And unto you shall it be his desire. You should overcome it or you should rule over it. You should change your attitude so that you will do well and be accepted rather than being angry. Then keep going. Verse 8. And Cain started talking to his brother Abel. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him and killed him. If you don't love God, you can't love people. And if you don't love people, don't say you love God. This is the demonstration. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I don't know. Look at the rudeness to God. You think he loves God? I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Look at the cheeky answers. Look at the rude answers. Look at the blasphemous retorts. This is how some of us react to God. Why should I pay tithes? Why should I pay offering? Why should I work in the church? Why should I sacrifice? Very rude. No love for God. Am I my brother's keeper? I can't say that to God. I mean, your mother is asking you, where's your brother? Why are you asking me that question? Am I my brother's keeper? Who made me a security man over my brother? Is it not rude, even talking to your parent? But you say that to God. Then the Bible says in verse 10, and he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out from down to me. So you must love others. You must love other people. Very important. Very important. Learn and demonstrate. Check your love for God through loving people. Believe it. I hug people a lot. So how are you doing? I call. Some of you don't even respond to my call. Yeah. Every season I'll send you text. How are you feeling? Praying for people. Loving people. You know, number two, talk the love language to love the brothers. Number two, if you love the Lord, you will lay down your life for others, for the brethren. The brethren means the church folk. If you love the Lord, you will lay down your life or make a sacrifice for the brethren. Bible says in 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God. How do we perceive that somebody loves God? Because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to also lay down our lives for the brethren. Did you know that? Jesus wants you to do what he did. Lay down your life for others. There are many church people. Jesus has laid down their lives. We will not lay down our lives for other Christians. Go for outreach or come for intercession for others. Or come and clean the church for others. Or come and even be in the choir and sing for others. No. Lay down your life. Write it down. Lay down your life. It means you lay down for others to get something. Jesus Christ said in the book of John 10, that this is why the Father loves me, because I laid down my life for others. Sacrifice. That's why I laid down my life for you. That's why I make the sacrifices for you. Because it's God's love language. He's watching. What will you do for the brethren? You know, indeed, some people will give up everything, their virginity, their money, their status, their holiness, their Christianity for a guy. Just to demonstrate love, they lay down their lives for others, and the guys trample over it. Mercy. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. Bible says that let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season you shall reap if you don't get tired. You've done people things for people and they haven't minded you. Don't worry. Don't be tired. Don't be tired. Keep doing it. Jose, keep doing it. Keep doing it. When you are doing it, don't look at the person. Be like my wife. One day she got angry because of the way I treated her. And when I asked for food, and then she brought the food and I asked, oh, you feed me. As she put the mustard in my mouth, she looked, Lord, this one I'm doing it for you, not for this man. That's sometimes the way your love for God must make you lay down your life when it's difficult for others. For others. What do I get from you? Why am I laying? Because of my love for God. Do it for your love of God. It says that don't be tired. In due season you will reap. And then verse 10, it says that while you therefore have opportunity, verse 10, do good to all men, but especially to those who have the household of faith. You know, one church member told me that, you know, I looked at some young people in the church and I looked at the way they were dressing. She went into a closet. She collected everything and invited some young people to the house. They come and shop for free in my house. She laid them down. Pick anything you want, shoes, shirts, you know, jackets. And the people came dressed so beautiful. I said, which shop did you go to? And they called Sister B's Boutique in-house. That's how to do it. Some of you should come and do whatever, clothes, what's it called? Garage sale for nothing. Bring some good things. Not only the things that are torn, iron them nicely, keep them clean and come. Anybody should come and shop for free. Love the brethren. Yeah. Some of you, when you come, you drive by yourself, you're going home. You should pick somebody, give somebody a ride. Drop them off in their house rather than letting them take Uber. Yeah. While you have the opportunity, do good to them, especially those of the household of faith. Especially. Me, I've taken almost every child here, even some are more grown, as my children. I'm doing good to them. I take them to a restaurant. I go and play with them. Go to games, go to restaurants, chat with them, counsel them. You are laying down your life, making a sacrifice for the brethren. It's because of your love for God. If you don't love God, you can't do it. If you don't love God, you can't do it. And sometimes the reason you don't do it is because you don't love God. And to prove to yourself that you love God, you must just do it. And the love will come. There are many people sitting here. You have no sacrifice in this church for no brethren. For no sister, for no brethren. You will not do anything as a sacrifice for others to enjoy. It's a sign that you don't have love. I'm serious. You won't join the choir. You won't play the music. You won't clean. You won't stay for rehearsal. Everything you have a reason why, because of your selfish elements and the things you need to do for yourself, I cannot stay for anybody. Yeah, the only reason why you can't do anything for anybody is because you have to do things for yourself. Even if you don't have anything, I have to sleep. But people who have love for God, they want to help you. See, that sister that helped you is the love of God. She doesn't know you anywhere, but just know that this is a child of God. I can help her. I can help her. That's why I come to visit you. That's why I come to visit you. That's why I come to visit. That's why. Do I know you? Are you called Orleans Lindsay? No. You are part of the brethren. You're the reason why I wake up and I intercede and pray for you, lay down my life because of my love. If you don't love God, you can't do anything for anybody. I'm telling you. Especially of the household of faith, where you are paid nothing. People who don't love God, they want to be paid for everything they do and give. But people who love God, God is my rewarder. I think it's in Ephesians chapter 6. Check verse 18. About somewhere, this verse 18, it says, whatever that you do, of the same thing you shall receive of the Lord, something. But it's Ephesians, check it. Is it Ephesians 6, 8 or 18? Check it. You know, it says that it's like whatever you do, good. It's 6:8. says, knowing this, know this, that whatever good thing that any man does, you shall receive the same from the Lord, whether you are bond or free. In other words, focus on God as the reason why you are doing things. Yeah. Are you being blessed? Number three, if you love the Lord, you will have compassion for the brethren. 1 John 3:17, it says, if you love God, you have compassion for the brethren. You have compassion. 1 John 3:17, it says, but whosoever has this world's good, you have some things with you, and you see your brother has a need, you have the shoes, you have the shirts, you have the dresses, and you shut up your bowels of compassion from him, how can you say that the love of God is in you? I mean, you have clothes. Your wardrobe is full. You said, oh, it's because you want to lose weight and then you wear them. But it doesn't fit you anymore. It doesn't fit you anymore. Give them away. When you slim down, God will give you money to buy more. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Salvation, I mean, is great. But there's more salvation in this army of the Lord right here. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. We've given cars to church members. I told people, when your car is old, don't sell it. Give it to God's children. How say you that the love of God is in you? You have the world's goods, and then you want to wait. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27, amazing scripture, 27 and 28, amazing scripture. Your love for God, Renee, your love for God should make you do things for people. Proverbs 3, 27 and 28 says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in your power, the power of your hand to do it. Yeah. Somebody is looking for transportation and you have enough money to help. Don't withhold it. And it says, say not to your neighbor, go and come another time, and tomorrow I'll give you. When you have it right here to give now, don't postpone it. There's a passage, I decide to pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any creature, let me do it now. Let me not defer nor decline, because I may not have this opportunity again. Yeah. I want to preach my best message. I may not have another opportunity. Yeah. I want to preach from my heart. When I'm showing love, I want to show love properly to the brethren. And you should do the same. You must love the brethren enough to see somebody who doesn't go to church, who doesn't have salvation. Let me speak to him today, not tomorrow. Let me bring the person to church today, not tomorrow. Let me give, show some kindness today, not tomorrow. One person called me and said, look, I was looking through my thing. I have these microwave and things that I haven't used for a long time. Is there anybody I can give? Look, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. The Bible says, if you shut your bowels of compassion, how do you say that the love of God dwells in you? And finally, if you love the Lord, you will shepherd his flock. If you love the Lord, you will become a basenta leader. You will become an intercessor. You will take care of God's people for God. How do I know? John chapter 21. This is classic from verse 15. Jesus Christ was going away finally to heaven, and he had won so many souls. He was wondering, what's going to happen to these souls? He had only 12 disciples and so many church members. So when he had dined with them, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than the fish I've given you? Jesus Christ had just conjured fish when they could catch nothing. He miraculously gave fish. I've been there when he commanded fish in Israel. I've been there. And they ate and were happy. And he said, like many people, God is asking you, do you love me more than the things I've given you? Camille, do you love God more than your school? Do you love God more than your mother? Do you love God more than Gabby? Yeah. Do you love God more than your friends? No, think about it. You see how jealous people are? Your spouse will ask you, do you love me? Do you love that girl more than me? Do you love the church? Even pastors will say, do you love the church more than me? Jesus said, do you love the things I've given you? People are bad things. Put your love for God first. And Jesus said, if you love me, then what? Feed my lambs. Because Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, if you love me, feed my lambs. Look, I'm telling you, when you love God deeply, you develop yourself so much, you begin to gather people around you. Oh, yeah. Anybody who is found, you are isolated, you are single, you are the only person. Every day is about your Christianity, is about you, yourself, and me, myself, and I. When your love grows in the Lord, you will make it about others. You will gather people around you. Even your family members, you will gather them to the Lord. You will feed them. Yeah. Don't take it for granted that you are not growing enough to be fruitful. When your love increases, it's just a matter of course, you'll be fruitful. When people love somebody to a certain deep extent, they have children together. It's intimacy that brings children. Your intimacy with God will make you bear fruit. Yeah, Mekhi, your friends around you, when you deeply love God, it's a matter of time, you will attract them to God. Yeah, I'll say it again. When you love God, God says, you love me, you will feed, you will say something that will attract people to join you to where you're going towards the Lord. Feed my flock. You will not even, you're not called a preacher, but you say, by the grace of God, oh, let me pray for you. Oh, let me intercede for you. Oh, this, I have this scripture I'll send to you. One person, I remember very well, I had a certain issue. And then I told the person was, oh, the person went home. The following morning, she had put a scripture and a prayer under my door. I was so touched. If you love me, you will feed my flock. That's God's love language. Yeah. Many of you, you have been in the church for a long time. You've related with God for a long time. You have made it like a marriage that is dwindling and that is almost breaking up. It's not growing. But when you grow, I am telling you, you mark it somewhere. The deeper your love, the more likely you are to have a following, dragging them towards God. I'm telling you, don't deny. It's the Bible saying, it's not even Paul, it's Jesus. If you love me, this will be the sign. I'm going to ask some of you to even become Bacenta leaders. Not even join Bacenta, but become Bacenta leaders. Or not even become Bacenta leaders, that you be active in your Bacenta fellowships and you are the reason why the Bacenta flourishes because of your love for God. James, there's so many people around you. You remember when you came, when your love was very hot, you came, you brought many people with you. You've stopped. You brought your friend and your friend's friend and your friend's friend's child. Do you remember? Yeah. Go back to your first love. Go back to your first love. Classic. People who love God, they gather people for God. They feed people for God. They like feeding the people of God. They are not selfish. Men will be lovers of themselves and pleasures. It will never be you. Amen. Classic. Even if you are called Peter, it's the same challenge. Peter, you are the disciple, you are the first pope. Jesus said, your love for me will not be different. If you love me, you will. That's why I do what I do. And I will not stop by the grace. You think that this is the only preaching I do? Weak. I gather people, gather people, gather people. The Bible says, I will give you access after my heart who love me, who will feed. It's love that makes you feed. David loved God and he gathered people. From today, make it your aim to gather people around you. Show God your love by gathering people around you. Sometimes you can't even teach them. But you know, sometimes the father cannot teach, but he gathers the people. Come to the dining table. Mommy's got food for you. That's also feeding. So I can't cook as much, you know, or at least I can cook, but I stopped. But my wife cooks, and I gather the children, come and eat. Sometimes I gather church members, go and eat at my wife's table. You can gather people to come and be fed by the Lord in the church as a demonstration of your love. Until you love God, you can never do that. And sometimes the reason you don't do that is because your love is not real. Test your love. From today, test your love by what you do for others. By the gathering of the brethren. By the compassion you have for others. Test your love. Because only lovers will get to heaven. Only people who love God. And therefore, it's important to keep testing your love at all times. I'm testing my love. When I see somebody at the roadside and I have money, I never give a coin to a beggar. Never, never. I will not do it. Or a dollar. I will not do it. I will give a bigger note to the beggar because you won't see the person again. You look out, pass all the, and then you go for the dime. So because it's a beggar. No. You have love for God. You have compassion. You mark it. The best Christians are the Christians who are lovers. And the heaven-bound Christians, usually they start their love for God. Because when you get to heaven, you can't be hating on people. You can't be, you know, walking away from people. Oh, what do you mean? Well, you know who I am? And boasters and blasphemers. No, it's going to be about kindness. It's going to be about love. It's going to be about gathering people for God to speak to them. It's going to be about everything here. It's going to be about compassion. Think about it. Everything I've said is what will pertain in heaven. And let heaven start in your life here. And if you can't see heaven in your home with your spouse, chances are that you are not going to demonstrate that foolishness in heaven. Let it be here now and start showing up and gathering people towards God. Sometimes God even told the woman, he said, no, sometimes don't worry. You may not even preach, but by your sheer godly behavior, you will draw husband to yourself and to God by your actions without words. Your kindness will draw people. You know, you were telling me about your workplace, how somebody, a Muslim, is trying to tell him, can I come to your church? Because of her actions. Muslim. You should be surprised that nobody is following you. And if you change certain things, they will start following you. And they will be fed. Put your hands together for every heaven going. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Wow. You will attract people to yourself. People will come and say, look, do you know this man? Do you know that man? Such a great man. When you say you are a Christian, nobody will doubt it. But some of us, because we love, don't move. Because we don't love people, they question your Christianity. You are even afraid to tell them, come to church with me, because you are never kind. You don't even say hello on the elevator. You don't even smile. You're so serious and thinking about your pensive self. But nobody will follow you to God. Lovers of God are attractive. They smile. They are beaming with the love of God. And they make a difference in people's lives. Sometimes without even preaching, they gather people and they are fed. You become a shepherd. You become a basenta leader. You become a gatherer. You become a somebody that people gather around and they get to know God. The God that you love. 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 Question yourself, why is it that people are not following me to God? Perhaps the love is questionable. Start loving God. Mama, please come. I want to pray for you. Mama, come. Yeah, come. Clap for her. Somebody is telling me I love. Love more. Tell somebody, love more. Because some of you, I hear an argument. You're arguing with me in your mind. Our love God. Then love more. Tell somebody, love more. Love more. Love more. God's love language, when he sees you loving the people he's created, it's like a baby's mother who's seeing that you love my children. Love more. The more you love, the more you demonstrate the love of God. Lift up your hand and tell God, I want to love more. Mama, God bless you. God bless you. Touch your heart. Put your hand on your heart. Say, Lord, do something in my heart. Now, I want to challenge you. Try this. Try to invite somebody to the house of God, whether they will respond. Let their response be something to you. If they look at you left, right, and they walk away, tell yourself, I need to love more. And as you go today, start loving people and being nice to people. Even if it's your spouse who doesn't want to come with you, change your attitude towards that spouse. If it's your parent, if it's your mother, if it's your son, if it's your work colleague, start by loving the person, showing kindness, being compassionate. It will be the easiest thing for you to gather the person to God. If you are here today and you want to love God more, you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to say, God, I surrender, change my heart, and let me become a lover. You are here like that. Lift up your right hand. I want to pray a short prayer with you. God bless you. No, yeah, it's a blessing. God bless you. See that hand? You also want to lift your hand somewhere. God bless you. God bless you. You want to lift your hand and say, Lord, I'm surrendering to you today. I want to love you. I've known that I've not loved you much, but today I want to love you. Lift up your right hand. Apart from Mama, is there anybody else? You want to surrender to the Lord, to love the Lord. Okay, then come. Mama, come. Clap for her as she comes. Clap for her. I want to pray for you. Come. Come. Clap for her. Is there anybody who wants to join her? No, stand right here. Mama, stand right here. Now lift up your hands and all of us join. And Mama, say this after me. Come. God bless you. God bless. Clap for them. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them. Something supernatural is happening. Now lift up your hands if you're up front here. And say, thank you, Father, for loving me. I want to love you back by sacrificing my life for you. I want to give my life to you, to love you by loving your people, your creation. Help me first to love you. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus is my Christ, the Son of the living God. He died for me. He loved me. Therefore, I want to love him. Help me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and write my name in the book of lovers, the book of life. From today, I will love you. I will serve you. I will love the brethren just as you have loved me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Wow, weren't you blessed by that anointed word of God? Come join our services this and every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time in person at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive, Memphis, Tennessee. Be blessed.